Good morning to you all. It gives me great pleasure and it is an honour to preach to you at this 9:15 congregation. See, I haven't done it before, have I? But let's believe that the Lord will bless, not because I'm speaking, but because He's the Lord present with us in this day and age. And so let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we are honouring you in this service this morning. And during these next few minutes, when we think particularly about the place of Jesus as head of the church, I pray that you would bless our minds and open our understandings to things that you have before us. And we pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Well, we're following a series of sermons that have the general heading, What is Jesus Doing Now? And this third day of that series, we look at Jesus as head of the church. And I begin with two statements, one from each of the Bible readings that have just been read. First one from the reading from Colossians, the letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, in which Paul said of Jesus, He is the head of the body, the church. And the second statement we observe is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, where he is recording Jesus' words, and surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. A person who is the head of a sports team is the captain. A person who is the head of a large factory is the manager. As head of their respective organisation, each is a leader in their field and is regarded as an expert, a highly qualified person. Our question then is, how does Jesus look as a captain and a manager? We begin answering our questions from the four Gospels of the New Testament, taking just one incident from each Gospel, we can build a picture of the management skill and the teaching skill of Jesus as head of the church. In those days, we might be surprised to understand that while there was a generally wide belief in God, He was considered to be someone far away and remote from the people. When Jesus began his teaching, as Matthew puts it in his chapter 4, Jesus preached, Repent, change your thinking, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And then, by the quality of his teaching and care of people in need of help, Jesus demonstrated in practical ways that God was right there, present in their world. One Sabbath day, the equivalent of their Sunday, of our Sunday, in the synagogue, Jesus again began to teach. And a troubled man yelled out an objection. Jesus, in full confidence, ordered a demon out of this man, which departed again with a loud shout. We read this in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, where he also wrote, The people were all so amazed, they asked each other, What is this? teaching with authority, commanding evil spirits, and they obey him. Experience on the job is a common exercise in today's work training programs. In the third gospel, Luke records two such occasions, and we observe both of them. In chapter 9, Luke writes, "The Lord called the 12 disciples, gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. When the disciples returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done." And in chapter 10, Luke records, "Jesus appointed 70 others and sent them two by two ahead of himself to every town and place where he was about to go. The 70 returned with joy and said, 'Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name.'" There was a special board meeting where Jesus, as manager, outlined to his team some expectations. We know this occasion as the Last Supper. Here Jesus was preparing the disciples for an unknown future. They were disappointed because this amazing person, who had come into their lives just 3 years earlier, who now meant everything to them, had just told them he was about to go somewhere and would leave them behind. And in the fourth gospel, John records in chapter 14 how Jesus expressed comfort and encouragement to the disciples when he said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me." Now that's all very well, but it's all in the past, you might be saying. And yes, you would be right. Our aim has been to illustrate the evidence which shows that the Lord is qualified as teacher and manager to be head of the church. Now, from the remaining agenda items at that final board meeting, the Last Supper, we select two more items in order to further our investigation concerning what Jesus is doing today as head of the church. The first of these is recorded by John in his chapter 13, where Jesus said to the disciples, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. All men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." We've previously noticed the disciples' sadness when Jesus explained he had to leave them. But John records further encouragement to the disciples when Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, a companion to be with you forever." That is, as a capable and wise manager, as head of the about-to-be-formed church, Jesus has outlined what will be the new means of communication between himself and the continuing human leadership of the church, an arrangement that he intended would last forever. The presence with them of an authority person whom Jesus called the Spirit of Truth, whom we also know as the Holy Spirit. This authority person, this Holy Spirit, is still available to us and travelling with us during our journey toward the kingdom of heaven. He assists us in our endeavour to love one another so that people will know we too are Jesus' disciples. Down through the centuries since then, the church has spread in every direction from the city of Jerusalem, where that last boardroom meeting took place. Stories of missionaries record Jesus' encouragement to them as he maintained for them his continuing role as head of the church. And finally, we note a particular incident which happened during the days of our lives. This story featured in the April issue of the newspaper called Eternity. You may know the story of the Reverend Dr. John Smith, founder-in-chief and international president of the God Squad Christian Motorcycle Club. As a young ordained church minister, he saw a group of motorcycle riders, and John reported how he experienced compassion towards them, and so asked God to raise up a minister to the bikers. And God replied, "Why don't you answer your own prayer?" Soon, the God Squad Club was birthed. And while they were developing a friendship with another group of bikers, known as the Hell's Angels, were challenged by a rough mob who called themselves skinheads. There were four times as many skinheads as there were Hell's Angels. It was to be a serious bloodletting encounter. So Hell's Angels asked God Squad for assistance. Now, for the peaceable members of God's Squad, it was not acceptable to engage in the battle. Thus John Smith and his men turned to prayer, seeking God's help, while the Hell's Angels shook their heads at such madness. Well, God's Squad reported to Hell's Angels saying, "We are with you, but we will not fight. We'll try and talk them out of it." And there they were, side by side, with Hell's Angels heavily armed and God's Squad empty-handed and trusting God to do something. The appointed hour of challenge came and passed. 4 further hours of waiting time and the skinheads had not turned up. John Smith said, "It had the ring of Old Testament times when the Israelites asked God to deliver them from their enemies." So what would have been a nasty encounter became a non-event. We would be right to affirm that Jesus, the head of the church, was guiding John Smith through that engagement between the God Squad and the Hell's Angels. You may be interested to know these events happened in the year 1975, just 44 years ago, near the town of Sunbury in Victoria. In the light of all the reasons that we have noted here this morning, I believe we can honestly maintain with absolute confidence our trust that Jesus is a wise, effective and present head of the church today. Let us pray. Father, we pray that we should grow in our own awareness of the presence of Jesus and grow sensitive by the presence of your Holy Spirit with us when he teaches and guides and leads us, as we pray in his holy name. Amen.